So let me ask you a question. I want the honest answer. Okay. I've got a penetrating glare. So when you were little, did you ever try to find the Christmas presents? Now, any time in your childhood, teens, did you, now I want a show of hands, anybody who tried to find the Christmas presents, can you put your hand up? Thank you for your honesty, I like that. Yeah, I did too. My parents had to find a new hiding place almost every year. I was one of seven children. No, my mum was not Snow White. It's the pantomime season, just thought I'd throw that in. We used to hunt like a pack. You heard of the Magnificent Seven? Well, we were the Geordie equivalent of the Magnificent Seven. Two kept watch when mum and dad were out. One on the front door, one on the back door, while five of us went on a hunt to see where this year's presents had been stowed away. And we had a planned Geordie warning cry, just in case mum or dad were spotted on their way back. Eee man, I can see me mother coming down the street. Come back downstairs, no! And sometimes we found them, and sometimes we didn't. But you know, we have no need this morning to search for the greatest present. We have no need to search for Jesus, because in the book of Isaiah that we've been looking at over these past couple of weeks, he is readily and beautifully on display, particularly in the enthronement titles contained in chapter 9 that we've looked at these past 2 weeks. And this third and final session, we're going to finish by looking at a third title contained within that lovely verse in Isaiah. Prince of Peace was our first week. Mighty God was last week. And they're grand, they're powerful titles. They express something of the character, something of the ministry that this child, vulnerable, pink, fragile, grows up to become the Prince of Peace. Jesus imparts peace to his disciples. Peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. It's not as the world gives. Maybe you need some of that peace this morning. Maybe there are things going on within your life. Maybe life is just hectic, chaotic. Family life. Preparing for. Carrie and I were reading that story this week again about Martha and Mary. Finding time just to sit at the feet of Jesus and to experience his peace at this busiest of times in the year. But more than that, Jesus makes peace between God and man. Aren't we hoping that world leaders might have it within their power to find a peaceful solution to these horrendous conflicts in our world? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, makes peace between God and men. And that second title, Mighty God, we see in the Gospels. Through his miracles, through the exorcisms, Jesus demonstrating the mighty power of God over the physical world as well as over the spiritual world. And the most dramatic demonstration of that power we see on the cross. Those who passed by hurled insults at him. So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in three days, come down from the cross and save yourself. The chief priests and the teachers of the law also mocked him among themselves. They said, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we might see and believe. Those crucified with him also hurled insults at him. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. So it's easy to link these titles that were written 700 years before Jesus ever set foot on this earthly plane. It's easy to link the Christ of the Gospels and to have a more comprehensive view of who Jesus is at this Christmas time rather than just limiting that view to this pink bundle of life in a Bethlehem manger. So this morning we're going to look at the final title, which is Everlasting Father. For to us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's an interesting title. He shall be called Everlasting Father. When Isaiah called Jesus Everlasting Father, he is not, capital N, capital O, capital T, he is not saying that Jesus is God the Father. Okay? He's not saying that. There was a heresy within the early church in the 3rd century known as modalism or Sabellianism, after the heretic Sabellius. It was named after him. Modalism. And the idea was that Sabellius taught that Jesus, God, revealed himself not as three individual standalone identities, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but God revealed himself in three modes. So he changed from being God the Father, he changed to being God the Son, he changed to be God the Holy Spirit. But he was, and it may seem a subtle difference, but it's a quite profound difference. And in the 3rd century, when Sabellius advocated this view, the church quickly branded him as a heretic. So when Isaiah says of him that he's the Everlasting Father, he's not saying that Jesus is God the Father. What he is saying is that the Messiah will have a fatherly character. He'll behave in a fatherly way. He'll provide, he'll protect, he'll care for his people with fatherly compassion, endless wisdom and strength. He'll demonstrate that to his children. And throughout his ministry, what Jesus does, he introduces us to the Father. while in his own character and lifestyle he reflects fatherly qualities. I'm sure you've heard about the little boy who was drawing a his own Christmas card. I've done you a Christmas card, which I'm not a very good painter, but I painted it. It's on the back, and it's just a little quick watercolour painting just to say Happy Christmas to you all. We've loved fellowshipping with you again these past 3 weeks. It has been a joy for us to come. But this little boy, he's drawing his own Christmas card, and his mum says to him, what are you doing? And he says to her, well, I'm drawing a picture of God. And mum says, well, that's interesting, because no one knows what God looks like. To which he answered, they will do when I'm finished. And that's what the Gospels do for us. They paint a picture for us of the Son of God. They let us see what he looks like, this Prince of Peace, this mighty God, this everlasting Father. So keep that in mind at the minute, this everlasting Father title imagery. Because in the Old Testament, the concept of God as Father is not prominent, and it is not personal. Okay, that's really important to hold on to. The concept of God as Father in the Old Testament is not prominent. It's there, but it's not prominent, and it's not personal. Most references to God the Father in the Old Testament refer to God as being the Father of the nation. It's an umbrella title. It's not personal. There's a clear national emphasis, and it lacks the intimate relationship between God and individuals. And it's only when we turn to the New Testament that we get a more detailed and a more intimate description of the fatherhood of God. And it's Jesus who has fatherly qualities in his ministry. It's Jesus who introduces us to the intimacy of God the Father. He introduces the Father heart of God to us in the most personal and intimate of ways. Up until this point in time, God was God from a distance. And Jesus comes and he brings God into our living room. That lovely reference in the prologue in John. He pitched his tent among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The term Father occurs over 250 times in the Gospel of John. 100 times on the lips of Jesus, 17 times Jesus speaks of my Father, 19 times he speaks of your Father in John's Gospel, 17 times he says my Father, 19 more times of your Father, which I find fascinating. And he teaches the disciples, doesn't he, in the Gospels, to pray something they have never prayed before. Our Father. Abba. Dad. You know, there's a great quote, I couldn't find it, I wish I could. I just didn't have time to search for it, about the titles that Charles the King has. He's got about, I don't know, 20, 30 of these magnificent grand titles. You know, he's Lord of this and Leader of that and King of the other and a hundred of these. What does William call him? Dad. What will he call him on Christmas Day? Your Majesty? Well, he could, because he is. When they're sitting around the table, fellowshipping, enjoying Christmas Day, I think it's going to be Dad. Eh? And Jesus introduces us to God the Father. Abba. The intimacy. Do you know that intimate relationship? Now I know. Tell me about it. I was in pastoral ministry at Ruislip, as you know, for nearly 40 years. How many folks have sat in my office and poured their heart out because of a cruel father? Because of a domineering father? Because of an overbearing father? Because of an abusive father? Too many times. I remember one girl telling me how she was sexually abused by her father. Raped, effectively, by her father. I can remember one lad telling me he was a very high profile chartered accountant, had some very rich, important clients in Saudi Arabia. He'd lots of money looking after their property and estate in the UK. And I can remember him saying to me on one occasion, he said, you know, when I left school, all I wanted to be was a plumber. So I'd still love to be a plumber, but my dad wouldn't let me. So it still bothers me today. My dad wouldn't let me. I had a good dad. He was my hero. He was quiet. He was gentle. He was kind. He would do anything. I can remember he'd been working on this bloke's car for about 10 days, rebuilding it, getting it through its MOT. And I said to him, well, how much are you charging, Dad? I knew he hadn't charged me. He said, oh, no. Speed on the sick. I said, what about the parts then? Who paid for the parts? Well, speed on the sick. I said, well, surely you paid for the MOT test, didn't you? He'd give you his last. He was lovely. Loved him. Miss him so much. And if God was anything like my father, how blessed was I to have such a lovely dad. But you may not have had that. And your view of fatherhood may be pain-filled, may be difficult. You may feel some of the struggles you have today go back to yesterday. Maybe you never had dad. Maybe you never saw your dad. You know, some of those young men who lost their lives in Ukraine, their children were going to grow up without a dad. But Jesus introduces us to a loving, caring, heavenly Father. Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Isn't it funny when a new baby comes along, eh? Freddy. Our little Freddy. He's not little, he's a blooming monster.
I'll tell you, he's only as big as you. Gradually, he's massive, he's huge.
And he's doing all right. Thank you for your prayers for him. But isn't it funny when you have a new baby and then folks look at him? And we're all saying, you know, about does he look like Dad? Oh, look at him! He just looks like his dad! Bald! And dribbling! Yeah, that's about sums it up, isn't it? Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. It's God the Son who makes the Father known, who reflects something of the Father's glory. And it's only through the Son that we can come to know the Father. Remember that lovely verse? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this Father that Jesus introduces us to is concerned for our well-being. I love some of those lovely words in the Sermon on the Mount. Somebody, I remember, I don't know if I've told you this before, but you know I quote a lot of scripture. And that doesn't make me clever. You know, it just means I've got a good memory. It also means I have to learn it. So most days I spend at least an hour or an hour and a half memorizing scripture every day for about the last 10 years. But I'm not clever because I can remember stuff. I'm just trying to keep my brain ticking and active. But one of the things that spurred it on was, I remember someone saying, you Christians say that you know and love Jesus. The truth is, you know very little about him. Tell me what he said. And for some of us, you get past John 3:16 and we're struggling. So I decided, what was one of the greatest things that Jesus ever said? That was the Sermon on the Mount. So I decided I'm going to memorize the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. I want to know it from beginning to end. And there are some lovely things in the Sermon on the Mount about the fatherhood of God. Look at the birds of the air, he says. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? So if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And Jesus introduces us to the Father who's concerned for our well-being. So in conclusion to our series, I want to remind you that God is a Father who can be known. Do you know him? Do you know him? Just know of him.
I remember speaking to a group of elderly folks some years ago. I told them a story about Arthur Leach. He was an old man in my church in Edinburgh, godly, lovely man. He used to go around for tea, and he'd bake everything. His wife had died some years ago, and he was very capable as a baker. He had this massive spread, and he'd say to you, now, Derek, in his lovely Edinburgh accent, I wish we could do it. You know, you can't leave today until everything's eaten. Well, table was full of cakes and salads.
But he said, 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He said, a lot of people, they know the psalm, but they don't know the shepherd. Is that you this morning? You know the psalm? You need to know the shepherd. You need to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. So this morning, in conclusion, God is a Father who can be known. God, secondly, is a Father we can have relationship with. And finally, God is a Father who cares for our well-being. The disciples said to Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. This servant King, wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May we encounter him this Advent season, Christmas and beyond, by the mercy of God. Let us pray. Now let's just be quiet for a moment and think about our own lives. Sorry if I've upset anyone this morning in referencing fathers, particularly if you have memories of having had a difficult dad or not knowing dad. But God is a loving, forgiving, caring Father. Draw near to him this morning. Lord, we thank you for this lovely scripture in this book of Isaiah that reveals to us something of the wonder of who Jesus is, the ministry he exercised, and still ministers today to us. May we in this Advent season draw near to you, and in so doing, would you draw near in love and grace and peace, draw near to us. We give you our thanks. In Jesus' name, Amen.